Well, it is our pleasure now on Mugs to welcome into our studios Research Facility Coordinator with the West Central Research Extension and Education Center here in North Platte. He is Randy Lloyd. He joins us. Randy, good morning.
Good morning. Good to be here.
And we're talking about scouting today, but we're not scouting athletes. We're scouting Western bean cutworm.
Absolutely.
It has been spotted in the area. I see here in this article that Carly sent me. Clay Center, they have found some Western bean cutworm moths, and that was June 24th. Mead, also, they've been spotted there. And then most recently here in North Platte on July 3rd. So something that we need to be aware of as producers, huh?
Yes, so Western bean cutworm is a pest that it's been in the West for quite some time. It has expanded its range. Now it's in Canada. It's even over close to the East Coast. But here, typically the adults start to fly about the 1st of July, and then the populations build. And the reason we want to scout for them is they basically lay their eggs in corn. And they will eventually, if not controlled, go down to the ear and can do some significant damage.
So talk about the scouting part of it. Is it just a matter of going through your fields and doing that close-up inspection, or how do you handle that?
Yeah, so it's kind of a unique pest. They typically lay their eggs on the top third of the plant, and they typically lay their eggs on the top of the leaf. So if you're scouting, you'll go out and pick 5 to 10 areas in the field, scout and really examine about 20 plants, look for those egg masses or potentially the larva that will be feeding on the tassel, and take counts. If your average is anywhere from 5 to 8%, we recommend some type of application to control those.
Get with your sprayer and say, I need your magic potion to get rid of these pests, huh?
Yeah, there's a lot of products available for control. We kind of have two ways we can go after the Western bean. There are traits available, so when you purchase your corn, if you traditionally or consistently have a problem with Western bean cutworm, you might want to consider a trait in that corn, which obviously is going to come in the seed. Anything with VIP3A, and those products are Tricepta, Agrisure Viptra, and Leptra, and those are various companies. But certainly if you talk to your seed provider, he or she can make sure that you get the right product. Now, if you don't have VIP3, then you're looking at some sort of insecticide control.
Okay. I notice here in the article it says, as the moth flight continues and egg masses are laid in crops, it is essential to scout fields for the white to purple dome-shaped eggs, so that's and the young larvae. That's kind of what they're looking for. Then,
yeah, and
right?
it's an interesting pest. Basically, they lay white eggs. A few days, they turn tan. Right before hatching, they'll turn a deep purple. So you can sort of estimate how long it will be before egg hatch. That whole process takes about 4 to 7 days. So what we don't want to have happen is those larvae end up in the ear, because once they're in the ear, it's very difficult to get control. It's just hard to get at them.
So if you see some that are hatched, do you still recommend going ahead and getting them sprayed or getting the product to take care of it? You still try to go after, even though it may not be 100% effective?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the goal, and it's a timing issue, because if they're just hatched, you still have a little time.
Okay.
Typically, they'll hatch, they feed a little bit, they go up to the tassel, they feed on the tassel, pollen, that sort of thing, silks.
Then they go down into
Then they
the
go
air.
Down in the air. So you have a little bit of a window there, and you really want to target your corn crop when it's about 95% tasseled.
Okay, that's kind of the key right there.
Yeah.
Degree day predictions, is that involved too, and when you should do this?
Yeah, so it's another tool we have in our toolbox. Insects, most insects, and even corn develop based on heat units. And so we can track just the temperature not even knowing whether moths are flying or anything, we can just track the temperature and get a pretty good handle on when we'll see peak flight.
Mm-hmm.
We also have traps at the station that we monitor daily. And so we count the number of moths that we get at that trap, and we will post those online.
Mm-hmm.
And, farmers and consultants can watch that. And so when they see, for instance, July 3rd, we had, I think, a couple of moths. This week on Tuesday, we had 66 moths. So the populations are building. We have had years where we collect over 1,000 moths per night. So the populations can get significantly high, but at any level you want to make sure you're just keeping an eye on things, because margins are pretty tight right now, and we want to make sure that you're protecting every corn kernel that you can.
What do you recommend as far as getting rid of them? Aerial application or chemigation is mentioned here in the article. Is one proven to be more effective than the other, or is it just a case-by-case basis, or?
They're pretty similar. It just depends on what capability you have with your pivot system. If you're set up for insectigation, which would be applying them through the pivot, it's a good way, and you don't have the added cost of application. Make sure that the product you choose is labeled for chemigation,
mm-hmm.
And you can get help with that either calling the station, or certainly your chemical provider will know that. And you just want to make sure you're using the right product at the right time.
Says here, nozzles do not necessarily need to be above the height of the tassels for chemigation if the irrigation system has chemigation nozzles installed. Chemigation nozzles help ensure application into the upper plant canopy through water or other water-carried products.
Yeah, and that's all about getting good coverage. You just want to make sure if you're trying to control a pest, that you're actually spraying the pest.
Anything else you wanted to mention while you're here today, Randy?
Just be aware that it is that time of year, and we will be seeing these flights increase. Talk to your dealer. If you an added concern that we have in this part of the world are spider mites. So if you do use certain products, basically they will wipe out the beneficials that control spider mites. So it's kind of an unintended consequence, and you may flare the mites. So if you typically have a problem with spider mites, you might want to address that with your provider, and they can give you other options.
Okay. Well, I know you're at your office to serve. You're probably out and about quite a bit in the fields, checking things out, I imagine, huh?
We have several people at the station that are, obviously involved in research and out all the time. We scout our own fields at the station, so we kind of know what the farmers are probably going to expect as well. So, we're always there to help folks if they need it.
And how can they get a hold of you or your office there if they'd like to talk with one of you?
Well, I knew you were going to ask that because I don't know the phone number. But okay. I'll always call the West Central Station here in North Platte.
Okay.
And we'll get you to the right person.
They can just try probably type in West Central Research.
Absolutely.
And then bring up the website and
you bet.
Get the contact information there, handy dandy, and call them up. And you're just out south there on Highway 83, just off the highway.
Absolutely.
On the west side of the highway, right?
Yeah, we always welcome visitors that want to come out and see what we're up to.
You betcha. Randy Lloyd has been our guest this morning. Research Facility Coordinator is his title with West Central Research Extension and Education Center here in North Platte. Thanks so much for coming in this morning, Randy.
Absolutely. Appreciate you having me.